the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. Tarncast, Tarncast. It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. This is the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, the Tarncast.
Hey, pals. It's Ashley. With my guest, throw me a goddamn bone, Anderson.
Hey, how's it going, Ashley?
It's going.
It's gone. Yeah. We have a little delay here or something. I don't know. It's very glitchy. This is very glitchy this morning. I don't care for it. So what happened to you? Or can you hear me?
Like in life?
Yeah, well, I know you or, have.
You know what? I did go downstairs and like think of the router.
What? Hang on a sec.
Do you want me to plug into my hold on.
Yeah, this is Todd. I'm all right. How are you? That's fine. I'll do that. That's fine. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Bye. That was my that was my weed place. They're bringing me weed.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they had to clarify something. Anyway, so you've been through some shit. That's what I was asking before. Like you.
So
I saw Ian you post. Got into a car. Yeah, go ahead.
Ian got in a car accident on the day before Jonas's birthday. He broke his back in three places. He's actually downstairs right now. He just came home.
Oh wow!
He's home. Now. Yeah, he's getting around really well, which is awesome.
Oh, that's great.
He made his own breakfast this morning, so that was pretty great. Oh wow!
That is great. Okay. And then you missed work for that, and then you got sick and you got fired.
Yeah, I was legitimately sick. Like, and I finally stopped like throwing up, and I offered to come in, and I guess that pissed my boss off, and she fired me. I was like, okay.
Well, so I don't get it. She just didn't like that you called in sick and then said you would come in. I'm confused. I don't get it.
No, what, I mean, it's whatever. I have interviews.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just wondering, it's so weird. Like, did she give you a reason or she just, you called and said, I'll come in and she said, you're fired.
So I texted her. I was like, hey, I'm finally like not getting sick. Can I meet my foreman somewhere? And then she called me like 10 minutes later and was like, this isn't going to be a good phone call. And was like, we have to terminate your employment here. It just doesn't sit right with me that like you were sick and then you're fine in the middle of the day. And I was like, okay, like stomach bugs don't last all day sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. It's also just, it's a weird reaction to, well, it's just a weird reaction. Like
yeah,
to someone saying, I want to come in and work now. But she thought you were like lying. But then my question is, why would you lie? I mean, like, think about it. Why would you lie and say, okay, my stomach flu seems to be better. I can come in and work. What would be the reason for that lie? Why would you do that?
I have no idea. It didn't help that the night before was St. Patrick's Day. And I wasn't like, I wasn't hungover or anything. I was fine. And like, I even drank. So after I got fired, I was like, I'm getting drunk tonight. I have nothing else to do. Fuck it. So I got drunk and I drank a 6-pack of Dirt Wolf and woke up completely fine the next day.
Of what?
Dirt Wolf. It's like 8.7% beer.
Dirt Wolf. What kind of beer is it? Like an ale or something?
It's an IPA.
IPA. Yeah. Yeah.
But I was like, if I can drink this, like it was not, a hangover, because I did have a couple of beers the night before, but I was like, I work the next day, so I'm not getting trashed.
Right.
So I didn't get trashed and I was sick anyway. And it's whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Shut up, Ginny. Shut up. Come here. If you want to get, if you want to get in my lap, come on, stop meowing. God, she's such a pain in the ass.
So is Aggie. She's in heat right now too. That's.
Oh, your cat's not fixed?
No, not yet.
How young is the cat?
A couple months. Like,
oh.
Well, actually, she's almost a year old.
Oh, okay.
Almost. But she's an inside cat.
Yeah, but still, like, if you don't get your cats fixed, they're a pain in the ass when they're in heat.
Oh, yeah. I've noticed.
So you have interviews lined up. That's cool.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty excited. I have one today at Longwood Gardens, and I've been trying to get in there for a while because mm-hmm. it's an awesome place. But on like their Indeed ad, it didn't say like how much they were paying. So I guess I'll figure it out.
Right. Right. That, drinking beer and not being hungover reminds me of my birthday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, did I not tell you about that?
I don't think so.
And it's like all of our friends now at this point, everybody's having their birthday at this dive bar in Simi Valley called the Golden Nugget, and because they have karaoke on Saturday nights.
Cool.
So I was sort of the first person to start it in our group. You know, it was my birthday, and the Golden Nugget only has beer and wine. They don't, you know, have hard liquor. It's a tap room, okay. Lots of cool beer. But like at a certain point in the night, like I have no recollection of what happened after. and I, to get blackout drunk on beer, I would have to drink so much, you know? Yeah. And Hill said I was acting super bizarre. So we theorized that I was dosed.
Oh.
Because, and the next day, the way I felt, like I got a ride home, apparently, you know, some of our friends were there. Hill was going to stay, but, you know, I was freaking out. At one point, she's like, "Are you all right?" And I was like,
"Oh my God."
I was like, no, I'm not okay. There's something wrong. And she's like, What? And then I looked around the bar and I said, "There are Nazis everywhere. We're surrounded." And she's like, "Shh." And then had one of our friends was leaving. So he gave me a ride home. And apparently when he dropped me off, I got out and I went to the mailbox and I said to them, I started to open it. I was like, "Oh no, what if someone put a snake in here?" So I was scared of the mailbox. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I barfed, judging by evidence the next morning, and then passed out. And I felt so. I've had the worst hangovers in the world, and this was way beyond that. I felt so fucking weird. So I'm pretty sure Hill was right because, you know, it's like, I know myself and how much I can drink before I've lost control. That just doesn't happen to me on beer.
Yeah.
You know, if we'd been drinking, you know, whiskey all night, maybe, you know, that would make more sense. But even then, like a really bad whiskey hangover is nothing like this hangover that I had.
Oh God.
I don't know how to describe the physical sensation of it, but it just, you know, I felt like there, I don't know. It was just like heavy and like a heaviness and an ooginess that I was like, what is this? Why do I feel like this? So now when I go to my other friends' karaoke birthday parties at this place, so I'm watching my drinks like a hawk.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. It was bad. I mean, you know, and apparently Hill like was like, come on, let's sing a song. And she got me up and I was like, I had no idea. And so, and it was a song I do all the time and I had no idea. I was like, fuck. And I was just standing there and she was covering for me. It's such a weird story. I don't know why people would do that. You know, if you're going to roofie me just for the fun of it, like what, what's the point? I mean, at least be a rapist or something. Jesus.
Oh my God. Maybe somebody was trying to get you.
Yeah. Maybe they were waiting for me to be alone in the parking lot. And because I felt so shitty, I didn't go outside. So there you go. Maybe their plans were foiled. It is bizarre.
Way to go.
Yeah, exactly. It's very strange. Yeah. Anyway, that was my birthday story that you reminded me of because of your getting fired story.
I'll just randomly say it. Like, can't fucking believe I got fired. I've never been fired before.
No, I technically haven't been fired before either. Although the last job I had before I started being able to act full time was it was a temp job.
Okay.
In an Israeli bank. And like my whole job was checking signatures on checks to make sure they weren't forgeries. And it was me and another guy. We were both from the same temp company doing this. And you know, if the signatures look different, then you go to the manager and you say, I don't think the signatures look different. And then the manager is like, no, that's okay. Or, oh no, that's not good. You know, that was the whole job.
Yeah.
But then the other guy that was doing it, he let a check go through and it was a forgery.
Oh God.
So because of that, they like kicked us both out.
Oh.
I mean, technically I wasn't fired because it was a temp job.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of the job ended, I guess. But that was the closest I ever got to being fired. I've quit a lot of jobs.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, back then, I mean, I would walk out. If I had like a job at a sugar-free bakery and gift emporium and, you know, it's a minimum wage job. I'm a young actor guy. The whole reason I had the job was so I could do theater, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the management knew that and was fine with it when I started. And then they got this new manager when they were trying to like do this corporate restructuring, you know? And so they got this person who fucking didn't know anybody at the job. And she just like took over and was the boss. And she was a dick about scheduling and all that stuff. Oh. And I was like, look, you can't schedule me on these nights. I have shows. I'm going to do shows.
Yeah.
And the whole reason, you know, I'm willing to do this job is because I get to go do that when I'm done. And she's like, nope. And then I was like, all right, fuck you. We'll see you around. Bye.
Oh my God. That sucks.
And to walk off a job, like a minimum wage job and not having another one lined up it's fucking crazy. It's awful.
It's hard.
But I was just livid. I was like, you're fucking me over for minimum wage. Now I'm going to fuck you over. Bye. And enjoy working the fucking cash register in the gift shop, lady.
I rage quit my job before this one because, well, I told you like all this shit that was like, my boss is just so unorganized and like, we would never have schedules or anything. And it's just, she would pile on stuff at the end of the day. And I'm just like ready. Like I'm ready to go home. She'd be like, oh, do this before you leave. I'm just like, and I was in school and I was like, I have like homework to do. So no. And then I just quit. And she's like, what do you mean you quit? I was like, what do you mean? What do I mean?
what do you think I mean? I quit.
It should be like, if you had to guess, what would you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's funny. Yeah. I quit jobs when I was in high school too, when I got better ones. But usually I had something lined up. And it was usually just a different video store.
You're like, I'm sick of the inside of this one. Let's do another one.
Well, yeah, I made friends with the local video store guy. You know, he's just sort of operated it by himself in this small town. And then he eventually decided he wanted to hire people. And he was like, I'll hire you. And this was a place I could walk to from my house.
Nice.
As opposed to the other one, which was a town over. I'd have to drive or get my parents to drop me off, whatever.
Yeah.
So when I got the local video store, I was like, yeah, I'll see you guys later. And the Holliston video store, I think it was called Video World. What a terrible name. the couple that owned it and operated it were just, they were assholes.
Wow.
Yeah, they were just assholes. And the guy was smelly. He's really bad odor.
Oh, no. Oh, that sucks.
And she was,
somebody that smells bad.
Yeah, she was always pregnant.
Why would anyone do that?
She was pregnant when I started and then had the baby. And then within weeks, she was pregnant again.
No, like, that's no.
What's going on, lady? Yeah, she was always pregnant. Yeah. But the one in my town that I went to, Classic Video, they didn't have porno. But the Holliston place had porno. So that was a bummer to let go of that, because that was the most entertaining element of the job in Holliston at Video World, was their porno. And how it worked, there is a binder, like a 3-ring binder, on the counter with the cash register. And then in the counter, you know, underneath is like, you know, a glass top so you could see inside.
Yeah.
All the pornos were in there in black plastic, you know, clamshell cases. And they each had a number that would coincide with the number on the box art that they would take apart and put in this 3-ring binder. So you could, and you know, you want 2798, please. And you're like, okay, yeah, hot nuns being bad. All right. You know, there you go. So, you know what people would be renting. Of course, a lot of times you go to get the porno movie and open the box and it'd be empty because employees were always taking the porno home. Oh, and leaving the box so they wouldn't get in trouble. So that happened a lot. And my favorite customers were,
I think there was a guy.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, wouldn't you just take the box with you? That way you wouldn't like less of a chance of you getting caught. I don't know. Never mind. Continue.
Well, because if you take the box and it's gone, but it hasn't been rented out, then that registers with them as stealing.
Okay.
If you leave the box and the numbers are still there, it appears that it's still there. So you haven't, you know, and most of these people would bring the videos back ultimately. It was just a little employee perk that people took advantage of.
One of the benefits.
My favorite people who came in, this lady came in every week, and her husband, they had like a big fucking pickup truck, one of those giant ass fascist pickup trucks, you know, the kind that people put flags on out here. So they would come up and he would stay in the truck. He was driving the truck and he'd stay in the truck and send his wife into the store. And she would go directly to the porno 3-ring binder, and she would flip through dutifully trying to find something that they hadn't seen before while he waited in the truck. And she never
looked embarrassed.
She never looked happy. She looked aggravated. She was aggravated that she had to do this. And I was like, why? Why don't you make your fucking husband get it himself? Why?
Oh my God.
Some sort of weird kink he had, I guess. It's kind of funny, but yeah, very weird. But you know, there was no, It was funny too, because people would, you know, be in line and then they'd want porno and there'd be someone behind them who was like renting family movies. So I always enjoyed the awkwardness of the customers when they were like quietly, can I have 2154, please? 2154. And you're like, yeah, oh yeah, sure. Taboo America.
Why didn't they just have a separate room for that?
Most video stores did. I don't know why they chose this system. I think maybe to cut down on shoplifting, you know, because if the movies in the back room or in boxes, I guess people can stay. I don't know why they chose that. Maybe they were kinky too, and they thought it was hot to make customers stand in front of them and pick out a movie.
That's amazing. It probably, let's see. You know what? I'm going with that reason.
Yeah, it's something weird. I mean, they were weird. They had CDs too. There was an upstairs with music. So you could buy overpriced CDs or rent a movie at this place.
Cool.
Yeah, it was all right. But, you know, the mom and pop stores that had CDs, they were always fucking way too expensive.
Oh, yeah. I would just steal them from like FYE or like, what was it, Sam Goody?
Oh, yeah. Sam Goody and FYE were both really overpriced. Retail places. And there was another one out here in malls called Suncoast.
Oh my God. I remember that. Because that's what we had.
Okay. Yeah. And that, like, they had the prices of their movies were ridiculous. It just, it's like, I was always like, who's paying for this? And then eventually the company folded. So, you know, obviously having their jacked up prices wasn't a good business model.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then everyone switched to streaming anyway. So all those places got killed.
Yeah.
And Blockbuster.
Are you the one that told me that? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no, go ahead. I'm lagging.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So I think you're the one that told me that even if you buy like a movie on a streaming service and they get rid of it, like you just lose it.
Yeah. Yeah, that can happen.
That's dumb.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's that, you know, that's the downs. Like if you own something through Amazon, eventually that title is not available to you, even though you paid for it. And then sometimes I've had ones that disappeared and then came back. It's just, yeah. Another reason to have physical media taking up lots of space in your garage.
Yeah. Yeah, facts.
Yeah. I mean, the other day I wanted to watch, you know, George Romero's Land of the Dead, and it wasn't anywhere that I could see it on streaming. So I went to my garage and was like, hey, there it is.
Nice.
Like, so much of streaming for me is just I don't want to get off the couch because I could go get it from the garage, but, you know. Well, and sometimes they have, like, they'll stream old movies that, like, that have been restored for, you know, HD. So, and I only have the standard DVD, so, you know, then I'll watch them if they're available. But, you know, worst case scenario, I can always just get the standard DVD. I mean, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's the way I live. But I haven't bought any movies all year because, you know, had a strike, not working, and it's still fucking slow. I was reading a thing in the LA Times where, you know, an executive was, a studio executive was basically saying, no, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. This is an industry in a depression. We're in a serious depression. There's just not a lot. There's not a lot of work for scrappy actors like me. So it's a bummer. And there's another possible strike pending.
Are you kidding me?
No, because it's the team. You know, all these contracts, generalized contracts, come up for negotiation around the same time. you know, within months of each other. So that's why they're if, and a whole, I'm hoping that the industry looks at this and says, we want to avoid another strike. Let's give them a fair fucking deal. Because the Teamsters are saying, if you don't, we will strike. So when there's a possibility of a strike happening, production goes way down. It's not just during the strike, it's before. And in my case, after. Yeah, it's a sucky time for us entertainment people.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm just failing at getting a side hustle job. I fucking applied to Target.
And
they have a thing where you can, you know, you pick up shifts that you want, you know, it's mm-hmm. not a set schedule. And so I was like, well, that's doable, you know, if, you know, I mean, the problem is like, you know, I'm sure I would have to select these shifts a week or two in advance of the, you know, actual work. And with auditions and stuff and bookings, it's like it happens suddenly.
Yeah.
So, and I can't plan for it. That's, you know, why I've been trying to get like a flexible job so I can keep acting. But it's, you know, I don't know.
You should be able to give those shifts up. Like if you can't make it, like they should have an app that you can give up a shift and then somebody else can grab it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the case. I would ask if they called and interviewed me about that. I don't know. I don't know how it works because they haven't called me in for an interview or anything. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I should do crimes.
I saw this. I get like Google News notifications on my phone, and like this 11-year-old, 13-year-old, and 14-year-old, I think were their ages, just got caught for robbing a bank in Houston. I was like, damn.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on the news. They're like kids.
How did they get away with robbing a fucking bank? I need to read more about it.
They didn't. Because their parents turned them in.
Oh, freaking narcs. If my kids robbed a bank, I'd be like, yo, let me get some of that.
Yeah. Here, you can pay some of my bills. Good job. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing to me. I would like to know more. Oh, my God.
My
more.
Kids are so sweet.
They wouldn't rob a bank?
Yeah. I need to read about it. Oh, no, they would. I feel like they would. No, they wouldn't. They're very sweet. But they're like... when I didn't have a job for so long and I was like, we can't, like, I'm not buying anything extra because I don't have a job right now. And they're like, we'll give you money to pay bills. We'll use our birthday money. And I'm like, I don't need your money.
Oh,
I did, but I'm not taking their money.
that's sweet. Yeah. My son is very sensitive about it too. I mean this, cause last year was so bad and this year's no better. And he's going to college.
Yeah.
So that's got me terrified. I'm already terrified. Like I need to find something by summertime because, you know, that Hill's got a month and a half where she doesn't get paid.
Oh yeah. Shit.
So, and usually in the past I've made enough money to carry us through the summer, but, not last summer. And I got to do something for this summer. And then Colby's going to friggin' college. He got into his number one choice.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it's great. I'm very happy for him. I'm not happy for me though. Cause you know, we're going to have to figure out how to fucking pay for it.
I'm sure you guys fucking know this cause you're smart people, but he like applied for financial aid and stuff.
Yeah, we hired collegiate financial consultant
company. Okay.
It's this couple they run it. They're really cool. We happened to go, we saw that this guy was doing, you know, I don't know what you call it, a seminar or whatever, you know, like an hour long thing, which is basically the way he gets new clients. He goes around and does this for free. And then you're like, oh, I could use that help. And then, you know, it's expensive, but, you know, worth it, because I really would like to know how my parents did it with three kids. I mean, you know, my dad was making good money, you know, so that was part of it. But I know, like, they had a second summer home, and when I got into college, they sold it.
I mean,
and my brother to this day is like, it's your fault that we lost our summer home. You realize that? And I'm like, well, you know, sorry. But navigating through all this stuff, you know, FAFSA and student loans and scholarships, and it's insane the pastiche of shit you need to put together so you can possibly pay for school. I wish it wasn't like that. It'd be cool if, you know, college was also paid for by taxes.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. I used all of my Pell Grant money because I've been in school for so long, like here and there. And like, so when Ian got into that accident, I had a final for a class, and I like emailed my teacher and I was like, I'm dealing with this right now. I'm probably going to fail your class and like not do the final and all that shit. And I did fail it. And I was like, it's not you. Like, you're a great teacher. He was a great teacher. But it, like, I spent money to take that class just to fail it. And I'm so bummed. And now I have like loans and shit that I had to take out. What?
To pay for that class?
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't a lot. I'm doing community college stuff right now, so it's not too expensive. And I don't have to pay my loans while I'm in school, but I'm trying to pay a little bit as I go.
And what are you studying?
Criminal justice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you want to be a lawyer? Or a cop?
I want to do stuff with like juveniles. No, I don't want to be a cop. I actually, when I was looking for jobs, I like typed in juvenile into Indeed, and it brought up like two jobs that I could do because I don't have my degree yet, but like it's like a foot in the door. So I applied to both of them. One of them already got back to me and said no. So there's that, but I'm trying. I want to do like juvenile, like probation, or like work with kids to try to keep them out of trouble.
Yeah. My brother's a public defender in DC, and he works in the appellate court.
Nice.
Okay. His focus was always kids, teenagers who were, you know, in trouble with the law. So I get that. He was very focused on it. I mean, he believes that the system is obviously tipped not in favor of people of color. And, you know, he's very passionate about that. But he had a lot of trouble with the – because for a while he was a trial public defender, but he felt like he was doing his clients a disservice because the judges for some reason just hated him. So at a certain point, he's like, I can't keep doing this because there's prejudice against me. Never mind my clients and that. Yeah. So he moved into the appellate court as a result because he thought he could do more good there. It's interesting.
Is he though?
What's that?
Is he doing better there? Does he like it more?
Yeah, he does. He does. I mean, I think he might want to move into, you know, being a professor or something.
Oh, cool.
That's what his wife did. But I don't know if he's going to do that or not. She's on TV sometimes, you know.
Very exciting.
one of those, you know, talking heads they have on the 24-hour news channels.
Yeah.
She's done that a bunch of times. And Hillary's cousin, Josh, who's also a lawyer, he does that stuff too. It's kind of funny. We have a lot of family who are talking heads on TV. It's cool. No one interviews me though. I want to be on CNN. I want to give my opinion. Why do I have to be a lawyer to do it? They should just ask.
Yeah. You
know, ask actors.
I'm going to write CNN a letter and be like, yo, talk to this guy. Oh, no, I lost you. There we go.
Yeah. And so what else is up? What are you doing? You got an interview today at 1:20?
Yep. Another one tomorrow at 1, which is 5 minutes away from my house. So that's pretty dope.
Oh, cool. By car?
And then the boys are going to Florida. Their grand. Yeah. So I could honestly probably just walk there and save gas. I don't care. I ride my bike.
Yeah. I'd love to get a job that I could walk to. There's not very many establishments in walking distance. I mean, I guess, you know, if I have an hour, I could walk to Target, I guess. It's just
nobody
a long
wants to walk for an hour.
Well, I don't mind walking for an hour, but you know, if I'm walking for an hour to go to a job where I'm on my feet all day and then I have to walk home at the end of it, it sounds I'd probably be in good shape. You know, I mean, the best shape I was in, I mean, one, my metabolism was better, but in New York, when I lived there, you know, I didn't have a car.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was either the subway or walking. And sometimes I would walk, you know, if the weather was decent enough.
Yeah.
You know, I'd walk, you know, from 29th Street up to 50th Street across town, you know, and it was a long walk. But because I did all that walking, I never gained weight. I could drink I could drink so much beer and there was no, and eat shit. There was a deli near the apartment and me and my roommate would go there and we made friends with the guy who ran it. And he would have chicken Parmesan sandwiches, you know, and it was like two, he would sell them to us. It was like two for $2. So we were always eating. I mean, finding that kind of deal in Manhattan is hard to do.
Holy shit. Yeah.
So we'd buy two chicken parm sandwiches and 2 40 ounces of fucking shitty beer. And that was, you know, that's how we lived. And I didn't gain weight. If I did that here now, I would be so fat so quick.
I keep wondering like how I gained all this weight. But now that you said that, because like when I lived in Philly, like first of all, I was in my 20s. I would either walk, subway, or ride my bike when I finally got a bike. And like, I would ride my bike all over the city, like all over. And I was so skinny. And now I'm just like, I'm not like fat or anything. And my kids get mad at me if I'm like, oh, I'm so fat. They're like, you're not fat, mom. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. So I'll stop saying it. Cause my oldest or my youngest thinks he's fat and it like really fucks with him. So he's not.
Yeah. That's the thing is like I mean, I'm always soft in the middle. You know, I'm a dad bod type.
Nice.
Even when I was skinny, like back in college, I still had little love handles. It's just how I'm built. I was rail thin, but I still had like fat sides. It's just, I do my best. I exercise every day. But it's different, you know, because in New York, I didn't have to set aside an hour a day to get exercise. It was built into my day. And that's the thing about, you know, I mean, being unemployed, it's really not a problem finding an hour. But, you know, when I'm busy, it's hard to find time to exercise, to block it out. And if you don't, you can gain weight really fast. Yeah, I remember when my metabolism changed. The first national commercial I ever did was a Staples commercial, and it was a really successful ad for the company. So they decided to do a sequel, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like a good, like, 10 months, almost a year, in between these shoots. But when I showed up to the second one, like the shirt that I had worn 9 months ago, which was kind of baggy and sort of hung off me, was now just tight, wrinkleless. And I was like, and the director is like, ah, oh, those residuals treating you well there, huh, Todd? Oh, fuck. Yeah. And then that was, you know, and it's true, because I had started making money, you know, so yeah. I started going out to eat, you know, getting steaks and, you know, drinking Guinness and all that crap. And yeah, and I wasn't really exercising all that much. So that I gained weight. What can I say?
It happens.
Ever since that, I've been diligent, but it's like my weight fluctuates so much, you know, depending on what I've got going on, you know?
Yeah. My job that I just got fired from, I was burning like 4,000 calories a day. And I was like, I'm going to look so good by summer. And then they fucking took that from me.
Oh, no.
It's like, I'm getting paid to work out. This rules.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sort of the thing. Like, you know, if you apply online to Target, you know, there's all these options, you know, and you put in, you know, the ones you'd want to do the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's what I put. Yeah. I want to be in the warehouse unloading trucks and organizing boxes and moving shit around.
Yeah.
I'd much rather do that than stand at a cash register. Cause I've done that. Not my favorite.
Yeah. It's not great. Especially if they don't let you sit. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, you're just standing there. Anybody's just like stood there for like hours at a time. Like, everyone knows it sucks. Let me fucking sit.
Yeah. And I'm sort of terrified of the cons. I mean, fucking being 52 and trying to get a fucking minimum wage job is just, it's depressing. But yeah, I would love to do something physical so then I don't have to worry about, because if I'm working the cash register, what, like, I took my kid to see his favorite band, First Aid Kit, you know, they're good. But it was one of these places where it was standing room. It's like general admission. And yeah. It's just, the whole thing is standing, unless you like pay extra money and you're up in the balcony, then you get a seat. But yeah, to be there on the floor, it's just, there's no chairs. And I'm hanging out there with my kid and his friend, and they're having a great time. I mean, I got halfway through the opener, Hooray for the Riff Raff, who I really liked. But my legs are fucking killing me.
Oh,
I was just like, I'm too old to stand this long. What the fuck? So having had that experience, I'm terrified of, you know, having to stand at a cash register for 8 hours.
Yeah, fuck that.
Oh, please. Please, God, no. But we'll see. Hopefully, you know, and it won't be good for my back.
Nope.
Because I clean our house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of cleaning the house, my back is thrashed. I have to sit down. I can't do anything. It hurts. So if I'm doing this, moving stuff around 8 hours a day, yeah, it'll be good in that, you know, I won't be standing still and I'll be getting exercise. But by the end of the day, I'm going to be miserable.
You can't win.
You can't win, especially when you have to go to work for the man. I mean, I guess I go to work for the man as an actor too, but I don't know. That's different. Although they're sons of bitches because they're not hiring me right now. the goddamn man.
Do you want me to email the man and threaten him?
Yeah, could you lean on him a little bit?
See what I can do.
Tell him to, or let me win the lottery or something.
You got to pay, or wait, you got to play to win. You play it?
Sometimes. Like, if I have an extra couple bucks in my wallet, which I don't really have. But if I have like two singles, then I'll play Powerball or Mega Millions or whatever.
I actually have like $2 in my wallet right now, just sitting there. Maybe I'll do that today and see what happens.
Yeah, why not? The Mega Millions is almost $1 billion right now.
Holy shit.
Yeah, nobody won on Tuesday. So now it's like $1 billion. Imagine winning $1 billion.
I would give it away, most of it. I would take care of my bills and shit and pay for this house, but.
Yeah, I would pay everything off and I would probably make a independent film.
Ooh.
And then after that, I probably would just give it to charity. Although I'd probably travel, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I would try to do good stuff with that money. That's a lot of money. But I would also live very selfishly, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Although maybe it's just like I would buy really expensive beer and weed. And
oh my God.
Just basically be a bum, a rich bum. It would be fun.
Yeah,
but I'll, fun. I would probably, you know, try to help the local homeless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to buy abandoned houses and like fix them up and then make them actually be affordable.
In my old neighborhood, there's a, it's like a veteran center.
Okay.
You know, I think there's like a veterans hospital and it, you know, it's a thing. And they have this whole huge, I mean, in LA, it's, you know, worth millions upon millions of dollars. This giant, they basically have a whole block.
Yeah. There. We have one here.
But the thing is, you know, they bought the block and there's houses there on their campus or whatever. And they're just run down unused buildings. And I'm always like, why don't they fix these up and give them, you know, have the veterans live there.
Cause yeah. You
know, I mean, a lot of these guys are homeless. So I never understood. I was like, man, if I won the lottery, yeah, that's what I would do. I would pick up all these houses. Like there was that billionaire guy who I can't remember what state it was in, but he spent $1 million or $2 million of his dollars just building a whole neighborhood of you know, houses for the homeless.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you know, and he's, you know, he was like, I wanted to do something, you know, locally so I could see its effects and, you know, maybe enjoy them. So I thought that was cool. So I would definitely, you know, now that I'm here in CME, I would definitely try to help the homeless here. Cause you know, I don't know if they want help. There's that guy who lives, you know, I've told you about the guy who lives in the channel, right?
Yeah.
The mud man who builds mud. Yeah. I don't know if he would want to leave. Cause I mean, they throw him out and he comes back. So I don't know. It would, you know, might be pointless with that guy, but some I would people try. Would appreciate it. Yeah. I think a lot of people would. I mean, there's some, like you, if you do the bike trail, you see some pretty dodgy homeless people. There's one lady who's like, she hangs out in this stretch of the bike path that's near the train station. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she's just asleep. And so you just have to like in the middle of the bike path. So you just have to make sure you don't hit her. But if she's awake, she's screaming at somebody. who's not there. And it's cursing. It's like, fuck you, you fucking cunt bag fucker.
Like, oh my.
When you have to bike past her and she's in that mode, you just don't look at her in the eye. Don't look at her in the eye. Because if you look her in the eye, then she's going to start yelling at you.
Oh, so God. You
want to keep it with her imaginary person. But there's some real dodgy people who live under bridges and stuff along the channel, near the bike paths.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I saw one couple that was scary. They were scary because they were, they're obviously junkies of some kind. Probably of the meth type, I'm guessing. Those people can be scary and they can be violent. So, but I don't know if maybe you helped them, some rich person spent money trying to help them, that it might make a difference, you know?
Because
so much of it,
I
was just going to say, so much of it is tied into, you know, mental health.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, it's we just had in California, we just had a vote on a proposition that would pour more money into mental health issues, specifically regarding people without homes. What do they say now? It's like when I was a kid, they're bums. They're bums. But now they're people experiencing homelessness.
Oh.
Or people experiencing food instability.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the politically correct way to say the things. You can't be like Norm MacDonald and call them homeless bums anymore.
Oh, I miss him.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I miss him too. He was problematic though, politically speaking, in his late years. It's weird how many of those SNL people from that era really became kind of crazy MAGA heads. It's weird.
Did you ever watch the Mike Tyson cartoon when Norm MacDonald was a pigeon in it?
No.
Oh, what the hell is it called? Hold on. I got to look it up.
I vaguely remember a Mike Tyson cartoon.
It's so Mike Tyson Mysteries.
And
it's so hilarious.
And is it?
Oh my God! I would.
Is it really Mike Tyson?
I hate when shows that I love just like ends, and I'm just like, but no. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was Mike Tyson hilarious. Doing his cartoon voice. Was he doing it?
Yeah.
Huh. Because he's got a funny voice.
Yeah.
He's scary though.
Yep. It's him.
He
has like an adopted daughter.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Sorry. Go ahead. It keeps lagging, so we keep like missing each other. What were you saying?
I know. I don't know why it's like that. This happens sometimes with StreamYard and Zoom and all that shit. Isn't there like a fight coming up with Mike Tyson? Isn't he in a...
And Jake Paul, yeah.
He's so old, though.
I don't care about it at all.
I don't care either, but I'm just wondering. I mean, is he going to kill this guy?
I think so. Think?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, Mike Tyson scares me. I wouldn't fuck with that guy.
Mm-mm.
Do not fuck with Mike Tyson. It is interesting how he's sort of been re-welcomed into, you know, pop culture society. You know?
Yeah, I think everybody just like forgets or like moves on to like other stuff, and then they're just like, meh.
Yeah. I feel the same way about
I don't know.
Kobe Bryant. You know, they're always making murals and paintings and statues, and everybody, you know, loves the late Kobe Bryant. But he was a rapist. No one ever talks about that. I mean,
People just like forget.
He legally got off of this rape thing, but then later admitted that he had raped her and was giving her money, I guess. And nobody ever talks about that. It's weird. It's just, he's like this god who died tragically in a helicopter crash. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know why people have such short-term memories about crimes. Like, I made a joke about William H. Macy, you know? Okay. And people were like, what? And I was like, this just happened a couple years ago. His wife, his wife went to jail over a college admission scandal.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of thought he threw her under the bus. It's like, I didn't know this was going on. Wink. Yeah. It's your wife. You knew what was going on. I don't know. It's just weird. It's just weird how quickly people forget. Because nobody knew what I was talking about. I had to explain myself. It's like, it was a joke because of the college admission scandal. And what?
Oh, my God.
What? Who?
If I... we froze.
Oh, you're unfrozen now. What were you going to say?
If I don't get a joke, I Google it first and then try to find out about it before asking the person.
Yeah. I mean, mine was, it was, you know, one of these dumb things where some account, you know, on Twitter, you know, asks a question and, you know, they're like, what is the first movie that comes to mind when you see this guy?
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw your post.
Yeah. And all I said was, it makes me think of How I Got Into College, which is a movie that he's not in. But everybody thought I was being serious and they were like, Fargo. Boogie Nights. God. And I was like, Jesus, you guys.
That was a good joke.
It's a solid joke. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one. I hate that. When like I make like a great, perfect joke and people are just like, I don't get it. It's like, and then you have to explain it and then it's not funny anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's not funny if people don't get it. I mean, that, I guess that's the problem with pop culture reference jokes. Yeah. People don't necessarily know what you're talking about because they don't have all the facts, or they've conveniently forgotten about the facts. Selective memory, as they call it.
I think I have that.
My English teacher in junior high in seventh grade, Mrs. Finley, she said I had selective memory.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She.
But you remembered that.
Yeah, she did not like me. That was my assumption the entire time I was in her class. It's just, she didn't like me. And, you know, and I was trying to explain that to my parents all the time. I was like, she just doesn't, Mrs. Finley doesn't like me. You know, she singles me out. I get in trouble for stuff I'm not doing. It's just weird, you know? And when we all had like a parent teacher conference thing, you know, I was like, I didn't do that. And she's like, well, you have a selective memory. And I was like, you're making stuff up.
She's gaslighting you.
Yeah. She's gaslighting me. She's trying to get me thrown in prison for something I didn't do. My God, Mrs. Finley. Anyway, I hope she's okay. No ill will. It's fine.
She's definitely dead.
She probably. I wonder how many of my junior high teachers are not alive anymore. I wonder. I wonder if the gym teacher from junior high who I got a concussion in his class and he just had me sit down. I wonder where he is these days.
Oh my God.
Because he should have called an ambulance.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm sure he meant well. It's a fucking gym teacher. What do you expect? Anyway, well, it's the end of your hour.
It sure is.
And what's
I'm how do you? Interview.
Yes, you got it. Well, good luck on your interview.
Thank you.
I hope it goes well. I hope you get it. It's that this is the place that you want to go. You've been wanting to go for a while. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Keep us posted.
Signing off. Sayonara. Later. I don't have a goodbye thing.